Okay, it's January the 7th. We are starting our Shir in Chelek, which is in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi. So the Mishnah begins, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. Everybody has a Chelek in Olam Haba. And it brings a Pasuk, Shnem Rav Amech Kulam Tzadikim, Olam Yershu Aret, Netzem Atoy, Masi Adal Yisbar. Then the Mishnah lists things that the person loses their Chelek in Olam Haba. Ve'ilu She'en Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Ha'imer ein tera, ein tchias hamesim in ha'tera. Someone who says there's no tchias hamesim from the tera. Vein tera min ha'shamayim. Someone says the tera is not from min ha'shamayim. Vapikaris, and an apikaris. What is an apikaris? We like to use that term. We like to throw that term around. An apikaris. So we'll see in the Gemara what an apikaris is. The Rambam deals with it extensively. Also, what is an apikaris? Rabbi Kiva Aimer Afakare Besfarim Hakitzainim, also someone who reads Svarim Hakitzainim, the outside Svarim. Again, we'll see later on what that is. The Haloiche Shal Hamaka Vaimer Kalamachala Shasandim Mitzayim Losim Alacha Kina Hashem Afakha, someone who says this incantation on a mak, on a wound, and reads this pasuk of Kalamachala Shasandim Mitzayim, that it should get better that way. Abashal Aimer Afahoiges Hashem Bas Yosef, also someone who is Hoige Hashem's name with its letters. Question is, what does that mean? Ha'igas Hashem Bo'os Yosef. And then the Mishnah goes on to list the Malachim that lost their chilek in Olam Haba and the Hedyotos that lost their chilek in Olam Haba. Okay, so before we start the Gemara, I want to talk a little bit on one of the ones mentioned in the Mishnah, which is Ha'igas Hashem Bo'os Yosef. Abba Shaul says that if someone will say enunciates the Shem Hashem Bo'is Yosef with its letters. So what does that mean? Ha'ayges Hashem Bo'is Yosef?
To pronounce the name.
To pronounce that which name?
Yud-Kevav.
Okay, so to pronounce Yud-Kevav, you're suggesting, you mean to read it.
I mean to say it as, we're not supposed to say
okay,
it.
Okay, so.
The way that it was said in the base of English by the Kohen Gadol.
But what does Ha'ayge mean?
Well, Ha'ayge, here, it seems that it here means to enunciate.
How often is it used?
See, the word lahagia means to correct when you're correcting a text. You're magia, a text. But it seems that that's not the literal translation. The literal translation seems to be to enunciate or to...
Gisa boy yom avalayla. What does that person mean?
Hagisa boy. I think it means to talk. To say.
You mean
to
like
speak.
To arrive at something? The same
no, to speak. To speak. So...
Meditate.
What's that?
Meditate. That's
I think the Rashi over there says to speak. It's a pasuk in Yoshua. I think Rashi over there says to speak. So we know in this week's Parsha Shmos, that Hashem says, "Ze Shmi la'olam, v'ze zechula dar dar." What's that? What's the school?
You told us that if you're learning in the Gemara and it's in the Parsha.
Ze Shmi ana. Zeshmi la'olam, this is my name forever. V'zezechula dar dar, this is how I am remembered for every generation. So the Gemara says in Psachim, Zeshmi la'olam, the vav is missing from the word la'olam. And therefore it's read, you can read it, li'olam. Olam means to hide something. So this is my name, it should be hidden, that you don't say Yud Kevavke, you don't read it as it's written, but rather you read it as Adnus, as if it was spelled Aleph Dalet and then Nun and Yud. That's the way you read it. That's the way we do it. So some want to say, so most Mefarshim learn that's what the Isser is of Ha'ayge Es Hashem Bo'os Yosef. Taisus tells us in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Gemara brings the Maisa of Rav Chanina ben Tradion. Rav Chanina ben Tradion is one of the Asara Harugei Malchus, and his punishment, he's the one who was wrapped in a Sefer Torah and set on fire. And he's the one that they put sponges of water around his heart so he shouldn't die quickly and he should instead have the pain. And then the executioner took off the sponges and jumped into the fire. He also got into Olam Haba. So the Gemara says that when he was sentenced to death, the Gemara says he was sentenced to death, his wife was sentenced to death, and his daughter was also punished. And the Gemara goes through why each of them were punished. And the Chanina ben Tradion was one of the great Tanoim. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches that what did he do to deserve this punishment, that he should be killed this way? So the Gemara says because he got sreifa, he got burned, Shaya Hayges Hashem Ba'asi Yisav. Because if Hanin ben Tradyain would do this Avera of Hayges Hashem Ba'asi Yisav. Good. So the Gemara asks, better question. How can he do it? You're asking how to get Olam Haba. How can he do it? But now, Elu Shem Lahem Chelak Olam Haba, Ha'imer Ein Tarmi Hashemayim, etc. And Ha'igis Hashem Ba'as Yosef. Our Mishnah. So how could he have done it?
It was an Abishol.
What's that?
It's Chelak and Abishol.
No. The Gemara says, Lehislamit Avad. He did it in order to learn. He didn't do it in order to use the shame or for his own ideas. It's Torah. You have to know what Torah is. So he did it in order to learn what it is.
So why was he punished then?
So back to Gemara. So if that was the reason, so then why should he be punished? Why was he punished? Because he did it in public. Meaning that even though what he did was okay to do, but the way that he did it was incorrect, it was in public. So Rashi explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik im ha-tzadikim kechut ha-saira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exacting on the tzadikim, and therefore, even though what he did was such a subtle mistake, a very minor problem, still, because he was such a big tzaddik, therefore, he was killed for it. And
but he got punished because of the way he did it.
He didn't lose his Olam Haba for the Maisa. The Maisa didn't give him Olam Haba. He was a big tzaddik, that's why he got Olam Haba. But he didn't lose it because he didn't do the Avera. He didn't do the wrong thing of Hayges Hashem Ba'as Yosef, which is to pronounce the word of Hashem's name for no good reason. He did it for a good reason, and that was mutter. But still, the way he did it, he still deserved to be killed for it. On his madrega. That's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. Now, Taisus here in Avodah Zarah says, what is Hayges Hashem Ba'as Yosef? So he brings that Rashi learns, Pirsha Kuntris, Shadar Shad Bemembe's Isis, Va'isa Boy Mashu Chafetz, that he darshins the 42 letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which I guess is what they used in the Beis HaMikdash, and that he uses the name for his own, he does things with it. We know that the Shem Hashem has power. We know that also from this week's Parsha. Who uses the Shem Hashem in this week's Parsha? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzri with the Shem Hashem, and that's why Dasan and Aviram say to him, Halo Hargeni Ata Omer, are you going to kill me? Are you saying you're going to kill me? Kasha Haraktas HaMitzri, like you killed the Mitzri? What do you mean Ata Omer are you saying? Rashi says, because he killed the Mitzri by speaking. He used the Shem Hashem and killed the Mitzri. So Moshe Rabbeinu was able to use the Shem Hashem. We find other places that the Shem can be used. Yeshaya Hanavi, when he was running away from Menashe, he said the Shem Hashem, and he disappeared and entered inside of a tree trunk of a tree trunk. That's how he escaped Menashe. I mean, he was killed anyway because the tree trunk was then chopped down and he was killed. We'll see about that later, I believe. What's that? I don't know if he knew it was happening. I don't know. But at any rate, the Shem Hashem has tremendous power. So Rashi understands that the Avera of Hayges Hashem Ba'as Yosef is to use the name for one's own use without a good reason. So that, therefore, that Avera would not be relevant to us since we don't know the name and we certainly don't know how to use it. So therefore, it wouldn't be relevant to us. None of us can do this Avera of Hayges Hashem Ba'as Yosef according to Rashi because it's not Nageras.
So it has nothing to do with the Yukiva. Okay.
Right, according to the record, that's what Taisus brings with Shem Rashi. Uh-huh. But then Taisus says, that he would enunciate the name of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is what we said before, to say it as it's written, and not to say it with Aleph Dalet. V'zayin Lassus, you're not supposed to do this, and he brings the Gemara in Psachim, which I mentioned from this week's Parsha, of Zeshmi La'olam, that you should hide the name. Lo'ikesh ani nichtav ani nikra, ani nichtav yud-hei, v'nikra ba'alef dalet. Okay. Now, Zoktaisis. V'nira, so according to this, obviously a person should not enunciate yud kei vav kei. So, Zoktaisis, v'nira l'ri, she'en lahazkir af oisiyos yud hei, k'may shergilim ha'olam. Person should also not say the letters yud and hei, like people are careful not to do. Shere yud hei hu shem hamiyuchad, because yud and hei is also the shem hamiyuchad. It's ka. Then he goes on to discuss whether you're supposed to say the letters Aleph Dalet. He goes on to say Aleph Dalet is okay. As he suggests, maybe you can't even say Aleph Dalet since Yud K Vav K is replaced by Aleph Dalet and Nun and Yud. So if you're not supposed to say Yud and Hey, maybe you shouldn't say Aleph and Dalet either, because Aleph and Dalet are the replacement for Yud and Hey. So he says, goes on to say, no, we never find that Aleph Dalet is anywhere in the Psukim, and therefore just Aleph Dalet by itself, Ad, you never find it by itself. Therefore, there's nothing wrong with saying it. But Yud and Hey, a person shouldn't do either. Now the question is, what does Tosfos mean that you shouldn't say Yud and Hey? That's what he says. You shouldn't say Yud and Hey. Does he mean you shouldn't say the name Ka, but say with a Yud, which we do when we say Psukim? Right, there are psukim that have yud and hey, and we pronounce it yud and hey. We say it with a yud. Mm-hmm. It's just that when I'm saying it to you without saying yud and hey, I say ka, just like I say Elokeinu and Shakai and Tzvakos. We don't want to say the word, even though you should know that it is mutter when you're learning. It is mutter to say the Shem Hashem. You're allowed to say Hashem's name when you're learning. It's a gemara in brachos that you're allowed to say Hashem Hashem. One time, in the 10th grade in Neri Yisrael, in the 10th grade they learn Maseches Brachos. All, the whole Masechta, Maseches Brachos, that's the Bekius Masechta that they learn. In addition to the Iyam Masechta, they learn the Bekius Masechta, which is Brachos. So the Bachram learned up very well, and when the Rosh Yeshiva Zechon Rachel was alive, Rav Ruderman, two of them were taken for a Bechina from Rav Ruderman on the whole Masechta, after they learned the whole thing. So one of the questions he asked them was, bring me a Raya from Maseches Brachos, that when you're learning, you're allowed to say the Shem Hashem. I don't mean if I mean to say Hashem's name, you could say, you know, Ka with a Yud, you could say Aleph Dalet, you could actually say the name. So the Raya that they brought, which was, I mean, I think there are other Rayas too, but one of the Rayas is, because the Gemara in the third parak of Brachos, when it goes through the din of Tevilas Ezra, that Ezra is misaking, that a Balkeri has to go to the mikvah before he's able to daven or learn or say brachas, he has to go to the mikvah, which was later rescinded. Today we are able to, even a balkari is allowed to do all these things, but in the time of Ezra there was a tefillah that you're not allowed to daven or say brachas, etc., without going to the mikvah. So the Gemara then has different shittas about how chamor it is. Some say that you're not allowed to say a bracha, but you are allowed to learn. Some say you're not allowed to learn this, but you're allowed to learn that. You know, Chumash, Mishnayis, Gemara. There was a machlokes there in the Gemara. How far-reaching was this takana of Tevilas Ezra, the takana Ezra of going to the mikvah when a person's a balkari? So one of the shittas in the Gemara is that a balkari is allowed to learn Torah, allowed to learn Gemara, but he can't mention the names of Hashem. So what do you see from there? Right? You see that if he's not...
He
could say the name of Hashem. So really, it's mutter when one is learning to say the Shem Hashem, when it's allowed to do that. We don't, because we're careful with Shem Hashem. We don't want to say it, which is correct. We should be more careful. But Lamaisa, it's mutter. So what does Tosfos mean over here when he says that it appears a person shouldn't say Yud and Hey either? Just like you shouldn't be Hayges Hashem B'Yisya. What does that mean? Does he mean you shouldn't say the name Ka with a Yud? It's hard to hear Tosfos like that because you are allowed to say the name Ka with a Yud when you're davening, when you're saying the Psukim, and even when you're learning. If it comes up in learning, you're allowed to say it. But I guess Hashem Bel Siyosef, you're never allowed to do. So what does Tosfos mean? Now, to me, there's two possibilities to answer this question. One is that maybe Tosfos means to pronounce Yud and Hey with the Nekudos that you have in Yud Kei Vav Kei. But the Nekudos of Yud Kei, what would be the Isra of Hayyas Hashem Bel Siyosef? It would be to pronounce Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey using the Nekudos that it comes with. What are the Nekudos that it comes with? A Shva under the Yud, I believe. How does it go? It's a Shva who's got a Chumash handy. What are the letters underneath the Yud Kei Vav Kei? Huh?
Yeah, like the witnesses.
Yeah, like the witnesses. Right. So it would be just if you have it. Just look and see. Just tell me the Nekudos. Or you can pass away. Either way, just read. Say the Nekudos. He's got it. He's got it. There. Any Shem Hashem.
Is it a heter to change the Yud to a J?
Okay. I mean, it wouldn't be saying it correctly. So, you know. Oh, they're not in the Kudah. Okay. Okay. So I believe it's a Shva under the Yud.
Yeah.
I believe it's a Shva under the Yud. So maybe Tosfos means,
but I thought that was because those are the Nekuda for the Aleph Dalet name, so they just write it there. It wasn't connected.
Right. Sometimes you have it that way. Sometimes you have it that way. He's gonna get a Chumash right now. So maybe it means to pronounce the Yud and the He the same way you would pronounce it as Yud Kei Vav Kei, just cutting off the last two letters. So you're just starting off saying Yud Kei Vav Kei. You're saying Yud and Hey. So it's the same Isser. It's reading Yud Kei Vav Kei, not Ka, not Yud and Hey, which is with a Kamatz under the Yud. What is it?
And then Ado would be the same question that he said.
Yeah, it's a Shva under the Yud, a Cholam over the Hey, and a kamatz under the vav. So it would be like saying, I'm not going to say it, of course, it would be saying keho, but obviously with a yud, not with a kuf, right? That would be what Tosfos means. Just like you can't say yud ke vav ke, reading it with these nekudos, you also shouldn't even say yud and hey with these nekudos. That maybe that's what he means, because as I said, he can't mean don't say ka, because we are allowed to say ka.
I think I misunderstood the Tosfos. He said that the Tosfos says that the Tibet Sam Hashem Sosyosav was the 42 letter name.
That's his first pshat.
Okay.
Then he says, the pshat most Mepharshim say is not to read it as it's written.
Wouldn't you have a problem with Yehoshua?
Okay, good. But I guess when it's part of the name Yehoshua, it would be all right. Just like Beis El. Well, Yehuda is not the same. Yehoshua would be exactly the right one. Right? My brother's name is Yehoshua. My father sometimes calls him Yehosh. He's got to be so careful of saying the shin, right? Right? So according to this,
we do see cases where even when you read the Shem Hashem that we're allowed to say it without a cup.
Right.
They call Vayitim Kelohim. Kelohim.
Right.
Over there does not mean like Hashem, it means Krav Ravin. So you're allowed to say Elohim.
Right. So the name Elohim sometimes doesn't mean Hashem. Because Elohim means power.
Right. The same thing. So saying the yud and the k depends why.
You mean if you're saying it as short for a name, you don't mean it in that way? Okay, it's just a little funny. I mean, when is it going to be? Yeah, okay, but I want to suggest something else. That maybe Tosfos means something else. Now, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, discussing the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara. What did the tzitz, everybody agrees what the tzitz said. The question is how it said it. Everybody agrees the tzitz said on it, Kodesh LaHashem. Kodesh LaHashem, of course, LaHashem is Lamed, Yud, K, Vav, K. Right? Hashem's name with a Lamed in front of it. But there's a machlaikis, whether it said, go ahead.
One line or two.
Right, one line or two. What would be two lines?
Okay, a gentleman came here and spoke in Shalosh Shuvah, says he's been in the basement of the...
That's what the Gemara says here. Yeah.
And he's seen it with his own eyes, and he says basically, if you can imagine a strap that has Kodesh and LaHashem, and if you do it, you can take that strap and do it, so it's two lines, but ultimately it is one line.
Okay, so it's a machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara says that one mandomer says, it says Kodesh LaHashem, and
the Gemara says
v'chatzal v'ishitin. It says two lines, yud hey milmala, the kodesh lamid milmata. Then it says kodesh. Well, from your perspective, it's kodesh la, and then Hashem is higher up. That the name of Hashem shouldn't be on the same line as kodesh la. So it's higher up, even though it's spelled, you're reading Kodesh LaHashem, but the Hashem goes higher up. That's Wamshat. And then, Vamra V'lezer Brav Yossi, Ani Re'isiv Baraimi, I saw it in Rome, V'kasav Alav Kodesh LaHashem B'shita Achas. It actually said it in one line. So, you have that machlokes in the Gemara. So, the thing is like this. When the Gemara tells us this, I'm reading to you exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, it says two lines, Yud, hey milmala, the kodesh lamed milmata. So you have to see exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Yud, hey, this is exactly what the Gemara says. Yud, hey, milmala, and then kodesh lamed milmata. That's what the Gemara says that it says. So the Gemara, when reading the Gemara, it says Yud Hey, but it doesn't write Yud and Hey. It actually spells out the letters Yud Hey, Milmala, and Kodesh Lamed Milmata. Now, Taisus here in Sukkah, this Gemara is on Daf Hey in Sukkah. Taisus in Sukkah says Yud Hey Milmala. Afal Pi She Yud Hey Shem Gomer, even though Yud Hey is also the name of Hashem. Ein ze haige shem ba'is yaisav. It's not a problem of haige shem ba'is yaisav. Imaz kir shtei ba'is yaisav. If you just mentioned two letters, kiva de eno maz kira mashem shem shalim, because you're not mentioning them as part of the full name of yud kei vav kei. Since you're not mentioning yud hey as part of the shem shalim, therefore it's okay. And then he says, and anyway, there's another pshat in haige shem ba'is yaisav, which is the other pshat of the 42 letter thing. Now, this Taisus bothered me for a long time. What does this Taisus mean? What is Taisus coming to Bavar? Taisus is Bavarning Akasha. The Gemara says that it says, Yud Hei Milmala. Zok Taisus, don't worry. It's okay. Because this is not Haig Hashem Ba'is Yosef. Why would I think it's Haig Hashem Ba'is Yosef? What is the Gemara doing that Taisus is coming to tell us, don't be afraid. This is not a problem of Haig Hashem Ba'is Yosef. What's that?
Spelling the letters out.
See, I always wondered, why do people say Yud Kei Vav Kei? Why can't I say Hey? Well, I'm not saying the word. I'm not reading it. Why is it when I spell it, I have to say Yud Kei Vav Kei? Why can't I say the letter Hey? I'm not saying the word. Apparently, from this minhag, I don't know where the minhag comes from, it may even be a problem just to spell the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Even that's a problem, just to spell the letters. Taisus says the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah spells out Yud Hey. Well, says one second. How can you say Yud Hey? Why isn't that Hagias Hashem Ba'is Yosef? So Taisus says, no, it's not Hagias Hashem Ba'is Yosef. If you say Yud Hey, but you don't mean to say it as part of Yud Kei Vav Kei, then it's not a problem to say Yud Hey. Mashma from Taisus, but to say Yud Kei Vav Kei, but use the letter Hey instead of K, would be a problem, even though you're just spelling the letters.
If it's so, then I should be spell the yud differently than yud. I should spell the vav differently than yud. Just like I'm spelling
hey.
Just like I'm spelling the hey k, I should do the same thing with yud and vav.
Once you change one, you no longer have the problem. And once you've changed it, you no longer have the issue.
Why can't you say that the reason that it's Dafka the K and not the everything else is because one of the Shem Hashem is just the K? Hashem, can you don't find...
No, a Hey by itself is not a Shem Hashem. Hey by itself is not a Shem Hashem. That's how we abbreviate it. But it's not a Shem Hashem. It's not a Shem Hashem. Yud and Hey is.
But we don't abbreviate just the Yud. We don't abbreviate just the Vav.
No, alright, that's true. That's true.
So what's wrong with saying
that? Stands for Hashem.
What's that?
As an J.
Yeah, so if you say it with a J, I think it's probably okay. I wouldn't do it only because it's, you know, they are being flippant with Hashem's name. So I wouldn't want to support them. But Lamaisa, is it the Isser of Hagia Hashem that says, I don't think so, because you're not saying it correctly.
Do the Nekudot have, are those actually mean something? Because I always was told that it was simply because the way we normally pronounce it, Amonai, is with those Nekudos.
No, but it's not. It's not the same Nekudos.
Yeah, it's only because it's under the Aleph.
No, but it's not the same Nekudos.
Under an Aleph, the Shva turns into a Pata.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
And then the rest of the Nekudos are the same.
Could be. So I'm saying, what I'm saying now is that it's not that. It's not pronouncing the Yud and the Hey. It's saying Yud and Hey.
If I was to pronounce the Yud Kei Vav Kei name with other Nekudos,
it could be it's all right. It could be it's okay. I wouldn't take chances. You know, it's pretty serious.
I was wondering, like, what the special
one of the Gemara
said. Those in the kudos.
I don't know.
Why the Gemara is only the Yud and the K and Kodesh Lamed, and then what happened to the rest of the Shem?
Well, the Gemara apparently doesn't want to spell out the whole thing. See, that's
even,
because that's
about the K on the about K also on the.
I know, but I think the Gemara in Sukkah, this is what Tosis means. The Gemara says it says Yud Hey Milmala. Now the Gemara didn't want to write Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, because that's like Yisrael Shemayim Seiyosef. Even to say Yud and then Hey and then Vav and Hey is like Yisrael Shemayim Seiyosef. Tosis then comes and says, and don't ask, what about, you just, Yod and Hey is already, Hagishon says, no, it's not. And I think that's a smach tar minuk to say Yod K, Vav K.
So is there any benefit to putting a Yod K dash Vav K? There's some places that people, does that solve any problem?
Well, you're just saying when you're writing it, not saying it.
Oh, I'm saying the Gemara is writing it. I'm saying So instead of, why could
it? Well, yeah, but a person, when you're reading the Gemara, you're going to read it as it says it. You're going to read Yud, Hey. Now, if the Gemara would have written Vav and then Hey, you would have read it Yud, Hey, and then you would have said Vav. Right? You would have said, you would have
a dash there, not.
Yeah, you wouldn't have said Yud and then Hey, and then dash. You wouldn't have said the word dash, right? But so it seemed to me that this is from the Gemara in Sukkah, and then this would be another, besides Ha'igas Hashem Bas Yosef, the obvious one of reading Yud Kei Vav Kei, but even to say the letters consecutively for the purpose of meaning Hashem's name would be Aser, and one should refrain from doing that, which we do. We say Yud Kei Vav Kei. The only thing is that the, now, it's in the Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam, so there are many mistakes in the, you have to get a more accurate, Bayo, I'd ask you to please look this up, in your edition, but in the Pirush HaMishnayos by Rambam, the Rambam, when he brings Ha'igas Hashem Bas Yosef, he writes Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey. He says Ha'igas Hashem Bas Yosef Yud. He spells it out Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey. Shehu Hashem Amafarish. So he he writes it out. So right here, the bottom here. Right before Hayasad Arisha.
Oh, yeah, here.
Yeah. Now, I don't know.
Here it says also he spells it out. He Yud, Hey.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He spells it out.
Just like in the Gemara.
No, the Gemara only writes Yud and Hey.
Ah, okay, fine.
He actually puts it all in there.
No, but this is because of the printing.
Right, so I don't know.
We don't have the original.
Okay.
You do not have the original handwriting of the first edition of the
Pirush HaMishnayos.
Yeah.
So there's no way to really know he spelled it out like that.
No.
But according to what we're learning now in Tosfos in Sukkah, it sounds like you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to say Yud Kei Vav Kei with the letter Hey. That's what it seems. That would be included in this Isser of Ha'igas Hashem Bo Yisrael Yisrael. Okay. Aleph Dawud? I don't know. It's certainly not Ha'igas Hashem, but it's certainly not as the same level as Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's Mamash Hashem Mamam Farish.
The times of Nach were used very openly, the Aleph Dawud, in the language, and we pronounce it like that, and it's we don't say Hashem instead of that. Anyway, I just find it a little odd there. It's also casual in how it's used, but it's used very openly.
What is Aleph Dawud?
Well,
I mean, it's used as Hashem's name.
Right, but we tend to use it as a substitute. Here it's used specifically in that form. And
right, we do find that Aleph Dawud is spelled out Aleph Dawud. Right.
But
yeah.
I can say it very clearly, and I'm citing a pasuk. It's not like
Well, that's what I'm trying to say with the Yud and the Hey also. There's nothing wrong with saying the name Ka if it's in the proper context. But there is something wrong with actually enunciating Yud and then Hey and the Vav and the Hey, even in the proper context, because we're not supposed to say that. We say with Aleph Dawud. So that's Ha'igas Hashem Bo Yosef. So I'm just saying that even just saying the four letters seems to be a problem of Ha'igas Hashem Bo Yosef according to Tosfos. That's what it sounds like. But the other names of Hashem, I don't think that would be true.
Can you explain in Navi when they have the Hashem Elohim, when they have the Yud Kei Vav Kei is.
When you have Yud Kei Vav Kei, normally you pronounce it with Aleph Dalet, Adnos. Sometimes it's pronounced Elohim.
Yeah.
And the way you know it is you look at the Nukudas underneath.
Yeah, but yeah. Why, I mean...
Why? I don't know. I don't know. That would be Tarshim Al Peh. Well, all Nukudas are Tarshim Al Peh.
It has to be because I was going to say that. Right. The Nukudas weren't there.
Right. The Nukudas are all Tarshim Al Peh. That's all Tarshim Al
Peh. Why don't we just write out the
What?
Why don't they just
I don't know. I mean, the same reason why sometimes Aleph Dalet is spelled Aleph Dalet. Sometimes you have Aleph Dalet instead of Yud-Kei. Even in Shemona Esrei you have that. Even in Shemona Esrei, Tagi Bar Le'olam Hashem, that Hashem is Aleph Dalet. Look at this here. It's Aleph Dalet, not Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And the second bracha of Shemona Esrei. So I don't know how that happens, why it should happen differently.
So we have in our Kabbalah Shulman, one of our tefillahs, we say in the Siddur, the word Kabbalistic tefillahs, it says, I'm spelling on this tefillah, the Yud, the Hey, the Vav.
Hashem Yichud.
I'm saying, but it says it in that Lashon. I mean, is that tefillah should not be said that way? Should we not read the tefillah?
I think there is a discussion of Kabbalah. Yeah, Biv, I think they don't
break it up.
Right.
Look before County Stress on there.
Is that what it is?
The
Stress
on
there?
Yeah, see, yeah, it says here. Right. Right. Os Yud, the Os Hey, Beshem Os, the Os Hey. It's broken up. It's not, right? Yeah, you're allowed to write it. You're allowed to write Yud Kei Vav Kei. You have it in the Chumash all the time. So the two yuds, I don't know, just represents Hashem's name. The Mefarshim talk about it. It is not Hashem's name. Yud Yud is not Hashem's name. You're allowed to erase it. I remember being in first grade in Eretz Yisrael. I was sitting, we were in class, and I remember the teacher wrote on the board, Yud Yud, to mean Hashem's name. And then one of the kids said, oh, you wrote Yud Yud on the board, you can never erase it. So that day, they erased around it. They didn't erase the Yud Yud. They didn't erase it. The next day, we came to class, it was erased. So, you know, I don't know what happened, but the Mepharshim talk about it. That you know, when I got older, I discovered the Mepharshim talk about it. And Yud Yod is not Hashem's name. You are allowed to erase Yud Yod. It's not an issue for erasing Hashem's name. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara, that's Hagias Hashem Bas Yosef. The Gemara goes on the first category in the Mishnah, which is Ha'imrein Tchias HaMesa Minat Torah. So the Gemara says, V'chokach Lama. What's the big deal that he says there's no Tchias HaMesa Minat Torah? So the Gemara says, Tana hu kafar b'tchias ha-meisim, afikach lo yeh lo'i chelek b'tchias ha-meisim. It's mida k'neged mida. He denied tchias ha-meisim, he's going to lose tchias ha-meisim. Shekho midoisav shal kodesh baruch hu, mida k'neged mida. Everything Hashem does is mida k'neged mida. Now, this is an important Gemara. The Gemara says, how do you know that everything is mida k'neged mida? We, you know, this is a basic tenet. Everything is mida k'neged mida. How do you know that? Damar of Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar of Yonah's son, Minayin shechom midoyis of Shalkarish Baruch Hu Mida Keneged Mida, Shenemar, Vayomer Elisha, Shimu Dvar Hashem, Kais Machar Sa Soiles B'Shekel B'Sasayim Soirem B'Shekel B'Shar Shomroin, this is a Haftarah that we say, Uchsi Vayana Shalisha Asher Nishan Al Yodai, Asher Lamelech, Nishan Al Yodai, Ezisha Elokim, Vayomer Hinei Hashem Oysa, Rubois B'Shamayim, Hayyeh Hadavar Hazeh, Vayomer Hin Charoi Ve'enecha, B'Shem Lois Soichel. So the Gemara brings the mice of Elisha Melech Aram was besieging the city of Shomron, and therefore the price of food had skyrocketed. The mice over there is that the king. What's that? The king was. They would think they were starving. And a woman called out to the king. The king was walking on the wall, and the woman called to him that she said, "Help me." Hoshia Adonia Melech. So he says, what should I give you? I can't give you any food. So, because he thought she was asking for food. So she said to him, no, that's not what I'm asking for. She said, my neighbor and I cut a deal. There was a woman, and she said to me, look, today we'll eat your child, and tomorrow we'll eat my child. So she said, well, today yesterday we cooked my child, and we ate him together, and now it's her day to split her child with me, and she hid her child, and she won't share it with me. So she's coming to the king to complain that the other lady had broken the deal. Now, we're talking about dead children. We're not talking about live children. But still, obviously, this is gruesome. So when the king heard this, so he said, that's it. He said, I swear that Elisha is going to be killed. Because he knew that Elisha had the power to daven and get rid of the siege. So the story goes on, how he went to kill Elisha, but of course he couldn't get to Elisha. And then Elisha said this pronouncement that by tomorrow, everything's going to be fine. The price of food is going to tumble, and everything's going to be fine. So the shalish, which is this shalish means a third party, but it means some kind of an advisor to the king. So the shalish said, he said, Hinei Hashem oisa rubois bashamayim. Is Hashem going to make skylights in the heaven? Hayya hadavar hazeh. So Elisha said, "Vayomer hincha roya beinecha, you'll see with your eyes, umisham leisecha, but you won't eat any of it." And then the Navi goes on with the story of the Arba Mitzrayim. And who are the Arba Mitzrayim?
Oh, they went after the city were wiped out, they came in.
Right.
And missed the whole.
Well, who are they?
Gehazi.
It's Gehazi and his three sons, who had Tzaraas from a different story with Elisha, and they were outside of the Machane because they had Tzaraas, and they said, "Look, we're starving to death. What are we going to do? Let's go to the Machane Aram. Let's go to the camp of Aram, the enemy. Either they'll let us live or they'll kill us. But if they kill us, so what? We're going to die here anyway. So we may as well go to them. Then we may live." The Gemara of Avodah Zarah has a kasha over here on this. Remember the kasha the Gemara has on this? The Gemara asks, what about Chayei Shah? If they don't go to Machane Aram, they'll live another day or two. They'll starve to death eventually, but they'll live another day or two. But if they go to Machane Aram and they want to kill them, they'll kill them right now. So they're going to lose a day or two of life. So the Gemara asks. That's what the Gemara says. It depends if it's a Vaday Misa or a Safek Misa. The Gemara goes into that over there. But anyway, they went and they discovered that Hashem had made an ace, and the whole Machane Aram had fled, leaving behind all of their food and all of their everything they had. So eventually the king checked it out, and the story was proven true. And then it says, "Vayetze ha'am vayavozu as Machane Aram." The nation went out and they took the spoils from the Machane Aram. Vahi saw Silas b'shekel v'sasayim sarim b'shekel, and all the price of food plummeted. Kidvan Hashem, like the word of Hashem. V'hamelech hifkid es hashalish asher nishan al yado al hashar. The king had this advisor of his. He had him guard the gate. Vayirmesuhu ha'am bashar vayamos, and the nation trampled him at the gate and he died. Like Elisha had said. And the Navi goes on to repeat the story that he said to him, you're going to see it with your own eyes, but you won't get to eat any of it, and he was killed. So that's the story. So we see from here that Hashem deals mida keneged mida. This person denied that Hashem would bring down the price of food, so he didn't get to enjoy that the food once it went down.
What about Patius Lot? Isn't that a case of
meeting? Okay, so there's hundreds, maybe thousands. The Rabbi Kimago here in Sanhedrin shells through the Mishnah and Saita. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah and Saita says, the Mida Sha'adam Maidid Ba Maidid in Loi. It's a Mishnah on Daf Chesam Abeis. The same measure that a person measures, that's the way he's measured. And then the Mishnah goes on to show the different things that happened to the Saita because of what she did. He kishta atzma le'aveira. She beautified herself for an aveira. Hamakom nivla. So the Hashem makes her look ugly. He gilsa atzma le'aveira. She revealed herself for an aveira. Hamakom gila le'a. So then Hashem makes her revealed in front of everybody. Be'yerech hischila ba'aveira. She started with her yerech. So tchila first, v'achach habetin, and then the stomach. Lafikach tchila k'hayerech tchila v'achach habetin. That's where the yerech gets punished first, and then the betin, then the stomach. And the rest of the body also. The Gemara here goes on and says, how do you know Mida Kineged Mida? How do you know it happens? The Gemara brings a few psukim. The psukim are in Yeshaya. And then the Gemara goes on to say all kinds of Mida Kineged Mida that goes on over here. The Gemara says, The way that she was made, that's what happened to her. He andal pesach beisa liros leiraos lo. She stood on the entrance of her house to be seen by him. Lafika kain mamida al shar nikanor. That's why the kain stands up at shar nikanor. Omara kain alakol, and her shame is shown to everybody. He pierced like sudarin nine al raisha. She put beautiful things on her head for this naif. Lafika kain nitel. Kippa me'al raisha, that's why the kain takes off her covering from her head. And it goes on and on with different mida k'neged mida. So Rav Kinnegar just has to look here. But the kasha is, why does the Gemara pick this case of Elisha from mida k'neged mida? Like Dan said, there are other mida k'neged midas, they're all over the place. My father-in-law once gave me it was one of these, I don't know where he got it, one of these publications for Mechanchim. My father was a principal, so it was from Mechanchim and teaching Torah to children, and it was from Rav Aaron Cutler. It was translated. It was translating what he had said, and Rav Aaron Cutler says or wrote in this thing that the most important yesod that a Mechanch needs to get across to the children is this: is mida keneged mida, that everything is accounted for. Everything has a cheshbon. Everything works exactly the way it is. That exactly the way a person does things, that's the way Hashem deals with that person. Over and over and over. And you see it throughout the Chumash, all the time. And we find it all the time. We find, im yichut v'ad stroich now, Avram says he's not going to take even a chut, even a string, or a stroich now, or a piece of leather. So because of that, what do you get for chut? Tzitzis, stroich now, we get tefillin. I mean, we have it all over the place. You have mida keneged mida. Why does the Gemara here pick this case, which is a relatively obscure case? I mean, it's Elisha, which is in Malachim. You have many cases in the Chumash itself. Why jump?
Yeah, problematic one. The Gemara has a problem with it.
Yeah, and the Gemara is a kasha, right? That's even better. The Gemara then asks, who says that it's because of mida keneged mida? Maybe it's because of the klal of Elisha. Right? Correct the Gemara. V'dilma kilas Elisha gar malei. So the answer is even came with Chlev Krav v'yer mesuhu v'yamos. My bashar. Why does it say he trampled him in the gate? Aliske shar. Shar can also mean the going rate. It can mean the price. So because of the price, that's why he was killed. But it's not such a straightforward raya. Why bring this raya? So the Marsha asks the Kasha. And the Marsha says, it seems to him, that the reason why the Gemara picks this raya is because it's clear and obvious that Hashem does mida keneged mida when it's an action. A person did this, he gets that, both for good and for bad. Everything a person does is perfectly measured and calibrated, and exactly what he did, that's what happens to him. And it happens all the time. And you can find many, many cases like that. The Mitzrim threw the babies into the water, and this week's parasha, what happens then? They get drowned. Right? It's mida keneged mida all over the place. Says the Marsha, but our Mishnah is saying a machshava. Our Mishnah is saying, he denied chiyas hameisim. That means he denies it in his head, or even if he says it. But he didn't do anything. He just said, I don't believe it. I don't believe in Tchias HaMeisim. Because of that, he won't get Tchias HaMeisim. So, what does that mean? I mean, who says that there's mida keneged mida even on a machshava, even on a thought, or something which you say? He didn't do anything. So, says the Marsha, that's why this example is brought. Because over here, the Shlish didn't do anything. He just denied it. Elisha said, the price of food is going to tumble, says the Shlish, can Hashem do that? The price of, he's going to make a skylight in the heaven? It's never going to happen. So even there, there's a mida keneged mida, even on that. That's what the Marsha learns.
Long and long, because, I mean, there's a kfir in Hashkacha. There's a kfir in what Hashem is. All the other mida keneged mida we find is really a person vis-a-vis what he does, he gets paid back. But he's not being kafir in Hashem's... In other words...
In his Ashkacha.
Right.
Yeah, he says Ashkacha Pratis, that Hashem is going to do, that he's denying it, so he's going to lose it. So that...
Khatamatim is not connected to Ashkacha Pratis.
What then?
Where do you see that?
No. I think he's just saying that the fact that it's he's denying something that Hashem, some it's not denying a something that happened or something that it's something that's going to happen in the future. He's denying a guarantee the Navi gave that the food price was going to come down. He says, no, it's not going to happen. So he loses it. I want to suggest that there's more to this example. This example has more to it, which is why, perhaps another reason why the Gemara brings it. First of all, if this is the paradigm for Mida Keneged Mida, why is the Shlish trampled? What did he do to deserve to be trampled? We don't know anything about the Shlish except for this story. What the Navi makes it a point to tell us that the way he was killed was the trampling. Why tell us that? What is that relevant? How is that Mida Keneged Mida? I understand he's not going to enjoy the food. He said it's not going to happen. Fine. So you'll see it, but you won't get it. Why is it to be trampled? Any ideas? It's a little bit difficult.
What is it that he denied?
He denied. All Elisha said was, yeah, that the price of food is going to come down.
What was Elisha's answer?
He said, Hayia davar hazeh? Is this going to happen? Hine Hashem oisa aruba is b'shamayim. Hashem is going to make skylights in the heaven.
Figuratively, he stepped on Hashem's word, his expression.
So he's trampling the words of the Navi.
Yeah,
the words of, yeah. Right? He's right. So he didn't just deny it. It's worse than that. The Navi said something, and he mocked the word of the Navi. Right? It's a little bit more than just Stam saying it's not going to happen. So maybe that's the trampling. It's still hard to understand the trampling part of it. What is the Mida of that?
Also, as the people ran to get the food, he denied that that would happen, so he was...
While they were going to get the food. Right, that's very good. As they're going to get the food, that's how he's killed. Mm-hmm. Right, the very thing that he said would never happen. That's exactly what kills him. Mm-hmm. Right.
It'd be more impressive if the food came and hit him.
Right, if the food came and hit him on the head, that would be even better, right? Right. Right. Now, the truth is that you see Mida Keneged Mida all over the place, but this whole parasha of Elisha and this story is replete with Mida Keneged Mida. You see, after he denies it's going to happen, the Navi shifts to the four Anashim Hayu Mitzorayim. The four people were Mitzorayim. Now, why were they Mitzorayim? Why were Gehazi and his three sons Mitzorayim?
Was it the Yarden?
So
the story of the Yarden.
It was Mida Keneged Mida, because Elisha had healed the taras of Naaman, and Naaman tried to pay him. Elisha said, "I don't take money for this." Mm. Naaman left. Gehazi ran after Naaman, caught up with him, and said, "You know, my master changed his mind. Pay up." So Naaman paid him. So when he came back to Elisha, Elisha said to him, "Now you're going to get the taras of Naaman. He has the taras of Naaman on him and his children forever, because of what he did." Then, fine. Now, why should the Arba Mitzorayim be the ones to be Zoyche to find the Machane Aram? That's also funny. What do you mean? These four Mitzorayim, they did an Avera. They were bad. Now, they were outside the camp. Why were they outside the camp? Not for a good reason. They had Tzaras. So why should they be the ones to be Zoyche to find the... They were the ones through whom the Yeshua came.
So that's a tikkun for their Avera.
Meaning?
So you did something to exclude yourself from the community, so now you have to do something for the community.
They could have run away. Anything.
Well, when they first found it, they ate, and then they took more and they hid. They hid some things for themselves. Then they said, this is not the right thing to do. The whole city of Shomron is starving, and we're sitting here having a good time. We have to go tell them. And they went and told the king. But still, why should Hashem make the Yeshua come through them? There apparently is some kind of a zchus also in their being able to save the people. There is a zchus in that. So even though Gehazi was punished with tzaras, but apparently he also has zchusin. Now Gehazi was the Mesharis of Elisha. So here you have the Mesharis of Elisha, who had gone bad, who's the one who finds the food, and through that, the shlish of the king is trampled and killed. So it's through a mesharis that another mesharis is killed. It's through the mesharis of Elisha, who is Gehazi and his children, through him, he also did the wrong thing. Through him, this shalish is killed because the food is found and then they get trampled.
That also vindicates Elisha.
What do you mean?
I mean, this is what, I mean, I'd imagine, maybe the king had some doubts about Elisha, perhaps.
Right, well.
And it's their service, they're still serving Elisha, and that they bring the message that vindicates Elisha for the king.
Right, that could be. The point that Rav Aaron was making in that piece that I saw is that he says you got to look deep and find all the Mida Keneged Mida. And it's everywhere you look, there's Mida Keneged Mida. So this story, which I think bears more iyun, there's a lot of Mida Keneged Mida here. It's not just this one point that Gemara brings up. The Navi himself also seems to underscore the Mida Keneged Mida, because the Navi repeats itself at the end of the story. It says, after the whole story is over, it happened exactly like Elisha said. After the food went down, and the shlish denied it, and he was trampled. Exactly like Elisha said. So it seems the Navi itself is using this as the paradigm for Mida Keneged Mida.
Oh, see, that might be the thing about the being trampled. The food, the price of food going down, and the shlish being trampled.
Under their feet.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay, that could be. What then? Yeah, so we're going to learn about Gehazi in depth, right? We're going to come back to this whole story when we get to Gehazi. It's going to be in a while, but we'll cover the story of Gehazi. One last thing, and we'll end with this: is the Gemara also, as we mentioned, the Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara says, one second, I don't understand. The shlish was killed was not because of Mida Keneged Mida. Maybe it's because Vidilma Kilas Elisha Garmalay. Maybe it's the curse of Elisha that killed him. Even if it's for no reason, the curse will come true. And here it wasn't for no reason, it was for a good reason. So, how do you know it's because of Mida Keneged Mida? So the Gemara answers, Im Kin Lichtov Krav Ayer Mesuhu Vayamos. They trampled him and he died. My bashar, why does it say in the gate? Al iske shar is telling you that it's to do with the gate, which means here the price of the food. Now, well, what's the Gemara's answer? How does it answer the question? Didn't Elisha curse him? Elisha cursed him. He said, you're going to die. And you won't get the food. So Gemara says, oh, you see Mida Keneged Mida. In fact, the Gemara, well, maybe it's not because of Mida Keneged Mida, maybe it's because of Elisha's curse. No, because the Navi says bashar. So that shows it's Mida Keneged Mida. Didn't he also curse him? Does it take away from the fact that there was a curse here? So what made it happen?
It seems like in order for something to be Mida Keneged Mida, it has to clearly be something that's not the idea
there. Right. It can't be because of his curse, because then it wouldn't prove anything. It just means, because in this case, Elisha cursed him.
And what about the Mitzar? What about the Gehazi? Did you say Elisha says to them, you're going to be
You see, maybe that wouldn't be a riot of Mida Keneged Mida. Okay, that's good. Right, could be. I mean, the very fact that he curses him with that taras, I would have thought that the Navi himself is enacting Mida Keneged Mida. Right, but the Gemara, I think, is trying to prove that it's from Hashem that there's Mida Keneged Mida. Right, like you're saying.
No, it's like it wouldn't be Mida Keneged Mida if it wasn't for the fact that it was a shah. I mean, just the curse alone doesn't make it Mida Keneged. Even if the Navi's acting vis-a-vis Mida Keneged Mida in his Machshava to curse him in this way, or if he's bringing in through Nebuah, it doesn't seem like it'd be Mida Keneged Mida unless it's something that's...
from Hashem. So it seemed to me that what the Gemara is coming to say is Elisha didn't curse him. Elisha wasn't cursing him. Elisha was saying a Nebuah from Hashem that he's going to be killed. You could have learned that Elisha was cursing him. Elisha gave him a curse. You're going to die. His personal curse. And it wouldn't be a right of Mida Keneged Mida. Zokti Mar, no, because since it says Bashar, that proves that it's not because Elisha cursed him, but rather Elisha wasn't cursing him, he was just saying a Nevuah.
That's why it says Elisha.
Yeah. Yeah. Now for next time, if the Olam is going to prepare, you should at least get down the Amud to the bottom. We're going to now get into the different rayas of Tchias HaMesim Minayin. How do you know Tchias HaMesim from the Torah? So at least go down to the bottom of the Amud. There's also an issue which we have to cover, which is that the Mishnah starts off, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Le'olam Haba. But then the Gemara says, he was Koyper B'Tchias HaMesim. So is it Tchias HaMesim or is it Olam Haba? What is Olam Haba? What is Tchias HaMesim? What are these things?
Are they synonymous?
Are they synonymous? What are the various parts of what goes on in the future? So we have to cover that as well. Mr. Shem for next time, next week.